Mr. Taylor.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Harvey Taylor Jr. I represent appellant Deborah Ahmad Bey. Ms. Ahmad Bey was charged and convicted with knowingly failing to surrender for service of a court-ordered sentence. At trial, correspondence from her attorney and testimony regarding the correspondence content were admitted to prove the notice element of her charged crime. The sole issue before the court today is whether the admission of this correspondence and testimony regarding the correspondence content violates the attorney-client privilege. While it is not the appellant's contention that all communication between an attorney and client should be considered privileged, it is her contention that in this instance, the communication should be considered privileged. After the appellant was found guilty of her underlying convictions, she pursued several post-trial remedies to address the conviction and the sentence in the crime.
But the thing about this information is that it's just the report date. This is something that's a matter of public record.
Appellant's argument would be that it implicitly conveys advice or opinion as to her further addressing her underlying convictions and sentence.
What in particular do you think it conveys? I mean, I'm looking at the letter with the redactions. You are now supposed to report to prison. I mean, it could track the language of the docket entry that says defendant shall surrender to the institution. So would this be different if the letter said, the court order said, quote, you shall surrender to the prison?
Then, yeah, I believe it would be appellant's argument that the opinion or advice would be that she has no further actions in proceeding with addressing her underlying conviction and sentence. This also leads to another issue not briefed.
I just don't understand this. I mean, so you think even if this letter had just quoted the minute order, it still would have raised attorney-client privilege problems?
At trial, should not object to the entry of the minute order, and that leads to another issue not briefed, Your Honor. The two orders leading up to the trial that address the attorney-client privilege issue anticipated the attorney's testimony as being that he would appear at trial and testify that he forwarded a copy of the minute entry order. But at trial, he actually went a step further than that. He testified regarding not just the minute entry order, but the letter as well that accompanied the minute entry order.
So do you think there's something different about a report date from the things that the other circuits have said is consistent? So for example, the date of a hearing, the date of a sentencing, the date of a trial, are those different from a report date? Or do you want us to disagree with all of these other circuits?
I think in this instance, it may be slightly different.
Why?
In that the attorney, he also, besides testifying to the unredacted portion of the letter, he testified to what the redacted portion said as well.
What did he say?
It said, he guessed to what it said. He said that he did not recall exactly what he said, but that it told of her legal consequences for not appearing at trial for not surrendering.
Oh, that there would be consequences if she didn't surrender?
If she didn't surrender, yes, Your Honor.
Well.
But it was his guess.
That doesn't sound like a big secret.
No, it sounds pretty obvious.
How would the rule you're arguing for apply, let's say, in a civil case? Okay, where
in a civil case?
I'm imagining a case where a client fails to show up for a deposition. And the other party who noticed the deposition seeks costs, sanctions. The opponent cannot, against the client who failed to show up, the opponent is prohibited from communicating directly with that client to, it is bypassing the lawyer to say, you're obligated to show up here. Would it be a valid defense to the sanctions to say, well, simply you can't prove that I had notice, and any such proof would be privileged?
Your Honor, I think that question goes to one of the cases cited in the appellate brief, Tillotson versus Bonner, where the court looked at the policy of privilege and said that the mission that and said that communicating, utilizing communication between an attorney and client would violate attorney-client privilege.
Yeah, but there's a distinction that's drawn between simply using the attorney as a conduit. You know, it's 82 degrees today outside in Chicago, you know, versus some kind of, you know, I advise you to take an appeal because I think your best approach is such and such. I mean, there's some things that are attorney-client privilege and other things that are simply information conveyed by the attorney. And as Judge Hamilton points out, sometimes you're not even allowed to talk to the client. The only way to show that the information was conveyed is through the attorney. Just, and it's not a private, I go back to my concern about the line you're trying to draw. The report date is publicly available. Anybody who wants to read the docket can see what the report date is. Some complete stranger who had nothing to do could go read court dockets and discover this report date.
I think in the appellate's instance, it goes to the weight, the testimony goes to the weight of the notice element, and that it seems to be, there would be less of an issue of her having notice
the
from an attorney.
Requirement.
Knowledge, yes, the yeah. Knowledge from
in
her attorney.
Go ahead. Sorry.
There's less of an issue from an attorney communicating knowledge to the client than if the client is supposed to find out on her own. It's easy for the government to prove that she should have notice if it comes from her own attorney. And I think that goes in, ties with the policy argument that utilizing an attorney's communication with the client to prosecute the client or to bring a suit against the client discourages open communication between the attorney and the client.
Am I remembering correctly here that Ms. Ahmed Bey wasn't arrested until about a year later?
That is correct, Your Honor.
How did that happen?
I'm not certain.
You don't have to know that.
Sorry, okay.
If you would like to save a little time for your rebuttal,
yes,
this might be a good moment to do
Thank
that.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'd like to reserve time for the rebuttal.
Fine. Mr. Fahey.
May it please the Court, Ryan Fahey on behalf of the United States. In this case, the District Court properly admitted evidence of a communication from Ms. Bey's counsel directing her to surrender to serve her sentence on a date certain.
Now, did he also, at the oral hearing, discuss the content of this part that's been blacked out in the letter?
Your Honor, it was a bench trial in this case, and during the bench trial, Ms. Ahmed Bey's attorney did not address and was not asked questions regarding the redacted portion of the letter. The letter was introduced simply to convey notice to Ms. Ahmed Bey that she was to surrender on a date certain.
Was there other evidence also of notice, or was this the sole evidence that she had been told that the report date was December 8, 2008?
There was other evidence admitted at trial. In addition to the letter, there was also the docket entry was enclosed in that letter, conveyed also by the attorney. In addition to that particular witness, there was also a witness of an internal affairs police officer. She was formerly a police officer with the City of Chicago. Months after her failure to appear, that individual actually wanted the return of some property, but also let her know that she was wanted. There was an active warrant out for her arrest, and he, in fact, offered to come pick her up. So there was testimony from that City of Chicago police officer. There was also testimony from the United States Marshal. To get to Judge Hamilton's question about why it took a year for her to come into custody, there was evidence at trial from the U.S. Marshal that he had that particular marshal had set up surveillance of her residence, had visited over 14 times during the course of that year, and simply there was evidence that she was evading police. In fact, when the police officer had notified her that there was a warrant, her response to that was, "I'm at the hospital. I think her daughter had been injured. Come and get me," was the response. And that was also evidence at trial in addition to her appellate counsel.
So your evidence of her knowledge that she's failed to surrender includes, A, the lawyer's cover letter, B, the court's minute order that comes with the court's cover, with the lawyer's cover letter. I would assume no direct communication from the court to her since she was represented. And then all these other things that are essentially saying you're too late. I mean, maybe they weren't talking about December the 8th, but they were saying you are, in fact, overdue.
That's correct. There weren't any further communications post-December 8th, which was her surrender date, mm-hmm. from the court. There was one other piece of evidence. It actually wasn't. It is part of the record, but it wasn't introduced at trial, and that is she had previously failed to appear. At that time, rather than issuing and asking for a warrant, the government simply set up a status hearing at which time the date was reset in one instance to allow her to appear at a later date. That was in September of 2008. But again, it wasn't evidence at trial, but it is part of the record ultimately.
At this time, is she on supervised release?
She's not, Your Honor. She was simply given at the conclusion of trial, the bench trial. 2 days later, she was sentenced to 26 months with time served. So I think that sentence obviously has been entirely completed.
She's done. Okay.
Yeah. And of course, that was in 2013. So. One final point for me, unless the court has any further questions, just to address counsel's argument regarding whether or not the communication implicitly conveys something else. I think that argument could apply to every attorney-client communication simply because it would, in a fundamental way, change the attorney-client privilege, making it such that any information conveyed by an attorney, no matter whether publicly available or not, would constitute an attorney-client communication. Certainly there were consequences to her failure to appear that were not contained in that letter, but nothing about the simple communication of publicly accessible and available information should result in any sort of fundamental change of what type of information constitutes confidential attorney-client communications. And in fact, I believe it would erode the protection of those communications should such a rule apply. If there are no further questions, I'll simply ask that the court affirm the conviction. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Anything further, Mr. Taylor? Okay.
Although it was not briefed, the appellant's attorney's witness was the first witness called, and he did testify to the unredacted portion of the letter. And upon his beginning to testify, the district judge questioned the minutes of the letter and his testimony and was informed that it had been briefed by the previous judge. But again, the previous judge, in the two orders dealing with the motion to suppress and the motion to limine, simply referred to the case law and said that a minute entry order should be admitted, but not there was no reference to admitting the letter that was attached to the minute entry order or discussing the letter in its entirety, what the attorney believed to be the entirety of the letter. That was not addressed prior to the trial, and when questioned, with the judge was informed that it was previously briefed. And when Ms. Ahmad Bey was captured, the marshals believed that she did appear surprised when she was captured, which leads to some question as to her knowledge of her time to surrender, her knowledge of her knowing that she needs to surrender.
Seems like there was a lot of evidence in the record that she knew she was late, so to speak.
Yes,
and isn't that the only thing the government had to prove?
There was also evidence that the surrender date was reset as well, which is why I believe the letter from her attorney gives more weight to her knowledge.
Well, it's good evidence, but, I mean, there's plenty of other evidence. It's just a failure to surrender conviction. But, okay.
Wow. Well, you're the rest of, if there are no questions, I will yield the rest of my time.
All right.
Thank you.
We thank you, and you were appointed, were you not?
Yes, I was.
We appreciate your help for your client, and thanks as well to the government.
Thank you.